Stay tuned as we talk about Bible prophecy today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is talking about Bible prophecy. His subject is Getting One World Ready for Two Men. This is a lengthy series, and we know that it's sometimes hard to catch every program. I'll be back at the end of today's message with an important announcement that might be of some help if you missed one of the programs or would like to share this important teaching with friends. And now, with today's installment, here is Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. This is program number 16 in our series of prophetic studies on getting one world ready for two men. And on point number one, getting the world ready religiously, we said the Bible tells us that as we approach the end of this age, we're going to see a coming together of the world's major religious groups into one worldwide body. We said the Bible has a code name for this end time religious system. In Revelation 17, that code name is Mystery Babylon. In verse 1, John describes her as the great whore. This is the King James Version. The great whore who sits upon many waters. Many waters is a metaphor for the nations of the world. So what is John saying? He's saying this great prostitute controls many nations. Her power and influence are international in scope. So this end time religious system sits upon many waters or many nations. In fact, in verse 15, John himself provides the interpretation. He says the angel said to him, "The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So that's the explanation. Now look at verse 2. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So again, we see the worldwide scope of this religious system. She even controls the kings of the earth, it says. She wields influence over the world's political rulers. In verse 3, John says he is carried away in the spirit into the wilderness, and he sees a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Verse 4. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." So not only is this end-time religious system politically powerful, but she is also incredibly wealthy. She is arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand. Incredible wealth. Unimaginable wealth. You say, how could a religious system become that wealthy? Well, have you ever been to the Vatican? You wouldn't believe the gold and silver and priceless works of art. Unbelievable wealth, almost incalculable wealth. Not just millions of dollars, but billions of dollars worth of wealth. Maybe hundreds of billions of dollars of accumulated wealth. You say, Gary, are you saying that Mystery Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church? No, it's not just the Roman Catholic Church. It's all of apostate Christendom. You know, I get letters from everybody. I say one thing and it makes the Catholics mad. I say something else and it makes the Baptists mad. Then the next week it's the Presbyterians or the Episcopalians or the Methodists or whoever, the Lutherans sometimes. So I guess on this program we have a unique gift for making just about everyone in the religious world mad at us. Everybody thinks we're picking on them. But please believe me when I say that we don't go out of our way to be obnoxious. It may seem that way, especially if you're not accustomed to this kind of teaching. But all we're doing is teaching the Bible from a messianic perspective. All we're trying to do is peel away 2,000 years worth of tradition and get down to what the Bible says. Not what the prayer book says, not what the denominational handbook says, not what the church fathers said, but what the Bible says. And if we start tailoring our message to avoid making people mad, then we're not being faithful to our calling. And we know this pits us against powerful religious forces. A couple of years ago, a certain religious group got together in Ohio and got us kicked off of one of our radio stations there. And you know, that poor station manager called me on the phone and he said, "Gary, I know you're right. I've been following your ministry for years, and the ministry of Charles Houth before you, and I know you guys are right. He said, I know it's censorship. I know it's not right what they're doing to you, but you don't realize who I'm up against. I'm a businessman. I have bills to pay, and I just can't fight these religious forces who don't like your program. They could put me out of business. So you know what I told him? I told him I understood and that there were no hard feelings. And I do understand. It's hard to fight these powerful groups and these religious censors who want to squash any dissenting voice, anyone who doesn't agree with them, because they have a hold on the people and they don't want their people listening to a program like Messianic Perspectives. And here in Revelation 17, the reason our Catholic friends don't like this interpretation is because it does point to Rome, the city on seven hills. We'll talk about that later. This could mean that this end-time religious monstrosity will be headquartered in Rome, that is, in the Vatican. And there are other indicators here as well that point to the Vatican. But again, let me emphasize, this end-time religious system includes more than just Catholicism. It includes the whole Eastern tradition, the Orthodox churches, in fact, all of apostate Christendom, apostate Baptists, apostate Episcopalians, apostate Presbyterians, apostate Methodists, the Church of Christ, and even cults. Probably most of the members of the World Council of Churches will be in this thing. And so there we go again. You know, here I am again making everybody mad. But it's the only way I can find to read Revelation 17 that makes any sense. You say, Gary, are you saying that if I'm a Methodist, that makes me an apostate? Not at all. There are true believers in all of these groups, all of these denominations. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are my brother. You are my sister. Whether you're Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, or whatever label you wear. You see, the body of Messiah consists of all believers everywhere. It crosses denominational lines. But listen, if you are a true believer, all you have to do is look around you to see that most of organized Christendom today is in apostasy. They reject the fundamentals of the faith. And most of the preachers, even the preachers, don't know anything about the saving grace of Almighty God or about salvation through the shed blood of the Messiah on the cross. Now look at verse 5. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Now notice, her name is not Babylon, but Mystery Babylon. So this is not the literal city of Babylon, but a mystery form of Babylon. That is, it's a concept that lies beneath the surface. In the New Testament, there are at least 11 specific spiritual truths that are called a mystery. These are things that God concealed in the Old Testament, but he has revealed in the New Testament. But even in the New Testament, you don't often see these mysteries on the surface. You have to dig a little deeper. And Mystery Babylon is one of those mysteries. You say, well, Gary, if the Lord has something to say, why doesn't he just come right out and say it? That's a good question. You want to know the answer? It's because the spiritual truths of God's word are not for everyone. You see, some people have the mistaken notion that God wants everyone to understand spiritual truth. Wrong. The deeper truths of the Word of God are only for a few to whom it has been given to understand those things. That's why Jesus spoke so often in parables. You know, a lot of people think Jesus used parables to reveal the truth, to teach the truth, but that's not right. It's just the opposite. He actually used parables to conceal the truth. Let me show you something over here in Matthew 13, just so you don't have to take my word for this. I'll show it to you in the Bible. Matthew 13 is where the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Why are you speaking to the multitudes in parables?" And what did Jesus say? Did he say, "Well, I'm speaking in parables because I want all these people to understand everything I'm saying. I'm using it as a teaching tool." Nope, that's not what he said. Look at what he said. He said he was speaking in parables because, quote, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." To the crowds, to the masses, he says, it is not given. It is not for them to understand. These teachings are not for them, but for you, he tells the disciples. Not for the masses, but for the few. Wow, that's heavy. Then he says, "For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. Therefore I speak unto them in parables," Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 13, "because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." You see, that is the nature of spiritual truth. It's not for everyone. It's only for those who have ears to hear. If you don't have ears to hear, and that's not literal ears, but figuratively speaking, if you don't want to hear, none of this is going to make any sense to you. I might as well get on here and speak in Greek or Hebrew or Swahili or Russian, because you're not going to understand it. That is, if you don't have ears to hear, if you don't want to hear, if you're not open to learning about spiritual truth. You say, Gary, are you saying that you're the only one with spiritual truth? No, I'm not. I'm not the only one with spiritual truth, but I do know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the Bible is the Word of God. If you're not open to it, it won't make any sense to you. Well, we're out of time now, but when we continue on the next program, we'll continue here in Revelation 17:5. Until then, this is your friend Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. Dr. Hedrick has been talking about the cumulative effect of developments in our generation. Everything is working towards getting one world ready for two men. If you'd like a copy of these programs, they're all available on compact disc for the suggested gift of $18. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com and search for Getting One World Ready for Two Men. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. By the way, listening friend, has it been a while since we've heard from you? It's very important that if you're listening, please let us know you're out there. You know, almost every time we drop a station from our network, we receive letters from people who say, "Why did you drop our station?" But then we check our files and find out they never bothered to write while we were on their station. So don't wait until it's too late. If you enjoy the program, let us know. You see, we don't want to drop a station if people are listening and we're having a ministry in their lives. But if no one is listening, we can take those funds and go on a station somewhere else. The only way we have of knowing whether or not you're listening is if you tell us. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. Just drop us a line at Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. Or email us at info@cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Getting One World Ready for Two Men, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.